Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Before this week's episode, a few friendly reminders. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
Opinions and views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the Arts Asylum, Mutual Musicians Foundation, or KOJH 104.7.
If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, please contact us via email at couchchats@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at couchchats. And don't forget, that's couch with a K. Please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have our good friend, Bree. Hello, Bree.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to the show today. Happy Thursday.
Yeah. Thursday.
We haven't recorded a show in real time before we have to put it up on the radio in a long time. So here we are. Bree just literally came to us after a performance of... The African Mean Girls play, right?
That's like the full colon situation, colon title.
Is this your first professional work with them?
Yeah, it's actually my debut in the city, so it's really, it's really fun. It's definitely been an interesting experience.
I look forward to really kind of talking about all of that. So I always like to ask, how the hell did you get to the couch today? How, from your perspective, do you know us?
Yeah, okay, so...
it's always so funny.
So, I began acting in Kansas City in 2017. I graduated from college that year. And I started with Faust Theater as well. And we had done Heather's in the Arts Asylum. So that's kind of how I got to know you guys, and I got to know the facility and all the people that work here. So it's been a really cool ride with you guys, and it's just awesome that, you know, it's created a safe space for actors in Kansas City. So,
and you moved to New York for a little while, is that correct?
Tell
us a little bit about why you moved there and maybe why you came back.
So I started, the institution that I went to up in New York is called Open Jar, and I started that kind of journey in 2017 as well. And they had a musical theater intensive, and I'm also, aside from acting, I do sing as well. And
you sing very well.
Oh, thank you so much. And so they had a residency program up there where you can live in the city for about 2 months, and you do master classes on acting, singing, and dancing. And I kind of went up there because I was feeling stuck for a little bit as a performer, and I'm like, I kind of need something to push me a little bit further, so I decided to do it. And, I sort of came back to Kansas City to kind of just regroup and get my money together so I can go back out there for good, hopefully. So,
what was the biggest lesson that that taught you? Essentially, like, something really good that that taught you and something that sort of maybe surprised you. Essentially, a pow and wow. Something good, something bad about that.
Yeah, it kind of ties into what we're going to talk about today, but, it taught me that I'm much more than what people look at me as. And for the longest time, I always thought that I was limited to certain things and I could do certain things because of my skin tone. And, like, I realized being up there that I can be so much more than that, and I have so much more potential than I thought I did. Like, I couldn't even sit here and say that a year ago. So it definitely pushed me in all the right ways. So,
Yeah, I mean, I've always found your particular track in life fascinating. You know, some of the things that have sort of came through our doors with you and about you, and some of the, you know, you got to play the plant, correct? In the little shop. And that was really cool. You know, I know that was a Faust production. I actually kept that ladder apparatus for a long time.
Yeah, it was infinite.
So I've enjoyed... from an audience standpoint, sort of getting to see you do that. And then you also were in falsettos, which I got to sort of play with this past summer. And, you know, that particular piece is so funny to me because the women don't really even show up till act two. So what a interesting thing that Finn wrote while trying to show what life is like, but then to not really give your guys' voice And, until later.
Yeah, and, like, my character literally tells the rest of the characters, like, what's going right? on? What's going on? Because, and I was wondering why he didn't put them in, you know, the first act.
In a different capacity.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, that's just the work that I've sort of seen you do in a year, because you did Little Shop in January of 18, and then... You did falsettos in summer of 18, so I got to sort of see you do these two very interesting tracks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Heather's was the one the summer before that, right?
Yeah.
So most of my work has been in our own facility watching you create with that company. So I'm very excited next week to get to come and see the play, to get you in a different venue and... capacity.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I am very excited. We had Chioma on last week, and
Chioma!
Yes, yeah, she's one of my favorite humans on the planet. The conversation we kind of started was that, you know, obviously the show tackles some racism issues, but it's so much more about colorism, and we sort of touched on that a little bit in talking to Chioma, but what's your perspective on that?
Yeah, So
sort of jump right in.
I don't mind at all. So Mindy, the education director who's over there that does a lot for the rep, she said this morning, and it kind of like made me go like, what? Like, what's happening? And she was like, the first time in 55 years they have had a show like this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's been that long? Like 55 years? And we haven't seen a show like this? And... You know, like, sure, 55 years ago, times were kind of standing still as far as race, and it wasn't really talked about, it was taboo, but it kind of made me think that, you know, Kansas City is just now being progressive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to claim that, you know, oh, we're this progressive city, we do all this and all this, sure, but no.
I mean, as I've said, not to defend or go against you, we may not... We, I think, are definitely doing better than some places are.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And that is the 1% that I will give that category. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is to say we are doing better, than we have previously in other places. Mm-hmm. But that does not mean that we are doing...
We're doing well.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the play does deal a lot about colorism and... a lot of people that have been involved in the process didn't even know that colorism was a word. So that was interesting to talk about, because we did an interview with the entire cast and someone came in and recorded us and put the interview verbatim into the program. So you can read it, and it's really cool. But it deals a lot with beauty standards, especially westernized beauty standards, and how they influence people of color, specifically black women. And it has been one of the most therapeutic processes I've been a part of, because I've never been in an all-black cast. I've never been in an all-black woman cast, mind you. And I've also never had a show that has put the thoughts that I've been thinking onto paper out into an audience.
Sure.
And I've just never felt safe enough to express those things until now.
When was the first time... that you remember being specialized because of the color of your skin?
Trigger warning, this is... I was in fifth grade, and it was an elementary school, and I didn't... As a kid, you don't really see race, you don't. But
that is
I was...
the hope that we try to teach kids, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
And I was in the lunchroom, and this kid stood up and called me the N-word in front of the entire lunchroom. And at first, my little mind couldn't process it. I knew the word was bad, but I didn't know the levity that it had. Sure. So I was like, okay, what just happened? And then fast forward, you know, a guy tells me that he can't be with me because I'm black, and I'm like 14 years old. So it hit in those two places in my life that, wow, I am actually different. Like, I'm actually different than everybody else.
Like, you had a person say that they liked you, but that they couldn't pursue it more because of the color of your skin.
Exactly.
Holy moly.
Yeah, and it caused so much mental stuff. And, you know, I tried to talk to my friends about it and everything, but of course they couldn't understand because I went to Liberty and it was predominantly white.
Sure.
So it was just really, it was really hard to process.
So. I just, this past weekend, closed the Full Monty, mm-hmm. and one of the characters inside of that show, his name was Horse, mm-hmm. played by Stefan Singleton. And during the process of this show, him and I had to talk a lot about the representation of a black man mm-hmm. in 1997, written by a white playwright, mm-hmm. and how there were some things inside of that show that made him uncomfortable
yeah.
to even represent.
Mm-hmm.
So him and I having to have discussions about, like, that it was written in a time where those sort of things weren't at the surface, you
right.
know, racism and like that. But he's like, right, but what if I'm portraying a character and there's a young person of color in the audience and they are watching me
mm-hmm.
do that? And how am I supposed to, like, empower them through the words that this playwright gives me,
yeah.
which isn't very empowering
mm-hmm. yeah.
for my particular role? And then there's another person in town, you know, who sort of talks about that the only roles that they get are playing the slaves or playing, you know,
mm-hmm.
sort of the dumb people. So I feel like these conversations are coming to the surface.
Yeah.
And I couldn't be more happy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I'm sad that we have to have those conversations.
Yeah.
But I couldn't be more happy that more people are sort of standing up and being like, hold up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, but that takes playwrights to write plays that are for, like,
yeah.
there's an empowerment that has to come in all different,
right,
you
sure.
know, directions. Or I saw Sweat at the Unicorn,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little while ago, which is still a show that sticks with me forever. It has racism, it has things inside of it, but an audience member, and many of my fives and tens have heard this, was trying to convince me that white people are the people who own the ownership of the N-word. Because we are the ones
mm.
who said, we are the ones who referred to people of color first by that name. So we are allowed
who is
to
this
say
audience
that.
Member? How have I never had this conversation
we,
with you?
Yes. Real conversation. And it's someone that we all might know.
Wait,
you
okay.
know?
Wow.
Yeah, and being like, so where is the empowerment that we are the ones who came up with that word? Why don't we get to change the or the definition of what that word means in 2018.
Ew,
no.
I know.
Oh.
And whew,
yeah.
you know, because I'm literally sitting there knowing
uh-huh.
that, like, I completely disagree with what this
yeah.
woman is talking about, but also, like, not causing a commotion in an audience. You know,
right.
like,
right.
also, like,
yeah.
I didn't want to.
Respecting theater etiquette
you
as
know,
well.
Yeah,
sure.
yeah.
And then trying to talk to this human afterward in,
mm-hmm.
in different ways and saying, are you sure that that's what you
mean?
right.
We can talk.
Yeah.
Right.
And then that person saying, well, I just have never understood if we said it first, why we are not allowed to say it anymore. And I was just like, well,
you weren't allowed to say it to begin with.
Exactly.
or
so I just feel like
have.
Around me, a lot of these conversations are sort of happening, even inside of what is supposed to be to your statement.
Mm-hmm.
We're all supposed to be artists and more liberal and doing these things, but there are people mm-hmm. in this town who still
yeah.
like separate the intelligence of that comes
yeah.
it just blew my mind, but it's definitely something that I have witnessed firsthand, because it always just seems like a story that someone else would tell.
Mm-hmm.
And then me and my friend Tyson Murphy were literally sitting in the audience and being like, are you kidding me? like
yeah,
and then
right.
hearing, you know, like anyway.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So I definitely hate that we have to have these conversations,
mm-hmm.
but I'm so glad that a person like you is wanting a platform, essentially,
yeah.
to discuss what's going on inside of your head. So
yeah.
I essentially, what lesson do we need to learn as a populace, and what are sort of the insights that you are seeing in real time
mm-hmm.
sometimes?
yeah.
I know that was a lot of words.
No, you're fine. You're okay. So I guess what sparked this to, like, come to you guys was... we kind of had an incident happening at our show the other night, and it was some serious parts of the play, and an audience member reacted in a way that was not appropriate at all, like laughing at certain things and laughing at, you know, racist derogatory terms used in the show. Like, people, like, this person was cackling, and it kind of gave me a wake-up call in to the society that I'm kind of in right now. I was telling one of my friends the other night, I was like, it's not necessarily my job to educate everyone, because that is energy that I need to spend protecting myself.
Yeah.
And my psyche and everything that I believe in. You know, we live in a day and age where people have the internet, people have articles, people have, you know, I wouldn't say textbooks because those aren't accurate too, right. But like people have resources.
Common sense.
Right. Common sense as well. And I should not have to teach common sense or that racism is bad or why it's bad. But the best advice that I can give to someone who has these questions is to, one, not speak unless, you know, you are advocating for someone or you are using your privilege to advocate someone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, listen. Listening is the biggest part. And I feel like a lot of people in this city have an issue with listening because, like I said, they want to be progressive, so they start running their mouths rather than listening to the people of color that are trying to speak.
Yes.
And that causes an issue.
One thing I talk about sometimes that, you know, it, I don't get to choose if you're offended or not.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
I like watered down that entire conversation to like one.
Yes, no,
sort of
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. I have to say, my friend Bree is offended by that, and therefore, even if I don't comprehend it, I don't understand it,
mm-hmm.
I have to stand and forget friend even.
Mm-hmm.
Bree, a person of color, is offended by that.
Yeah.
Even if we are not friends,
mm-hmm.
It is the thing that white people should own. Not the N-word, so start there. What we did create is the system of racism.
Yep.
And what is our job now is to say there is systematic racism, there is biases within our system, and it is our job to fix it. It's not your job to tell me about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You and I can have a conversation because we are friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's my job is to go and talk to other white people about why it's a problem.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be like, hey, this is a problem, and this is why, because we don't get to have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot share my experiences as a woman with Corey
in
the same way that I can share them with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
To like the 99%, but not 1%.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what it's like to be a woman.
Right.
Yeah.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it's like to be a trans human.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
I have been hated for my sexuality, but I don't think that being trans is a sexuality.
It's not.
It's
gender.
Right. And so then I'm like, well, I sort of know what it feels like, but at the end of the day, I am still a middle-aged white male in America, and
mm-hmm.
that just comes with a pretty bowed package
mm-hmm.
at birth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I have no idea what it feels like.
Yeah.
So all I can do is try
right.
to be as informed and kind as possible.
That's all you can do.
And the Arts Asylum in maintaining trying to be a safe place for
exactly.
people to create. And I don't mean that just as a venue plug.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if someone has an issue and they're maybe being targeted at the Arts Asylum, it becomes the Arts Asylum's job.
Right,
mm-hmm.
we had that
to
during
protect you.
Little Shop.
Yeah, during Little Shop, which
yeah.
I figured out who it was, and everything's cool now. But, like,
yeah.
it was
part of it. And you should, I mean, I don't even know, but, like, the Arts Asylum as an organization, like, literally was, like, getting their swords and their
mm-hmm.
their things to be like, who amongst us
yeah.
is trying to, like, infiltrate our...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really? And I really appreciated that. Like, and it just makes me sad because I'm not necessarily sure. And I mean, I haven't worked with other theater companies except for The Rep and, you know, Arts Asylum and Faust. But, like, I just feel like no other places would really do that, would really go that far. And
I was gonna vet everyone that walked through the door.
Yeah.
I have 10 questions.
I have screenshots.
Yeah,
exactly.
Uh-huh. Can you type me a text message,
right.
please? Like, so
exactly.
It was just crazy. Like, you know, and then to be empowered because you are in this particular show,
mm-hmm.
I'm, as you said, I feel like you're learning things even inside of the show that you didn't
know. I am.
You're
yeah.
having conversations with yourself that maybe you didn't feel like you needed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot wait to see the show.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's so many discussion points that come out of
yeah. And we had a school come today, and it was like a predominantly black audience. And we had a girl raise her hand and say, you know, I was really inspired because I see actresses up there that look like me. And I'm mm-hmm. like, that's all we want.
Right.
Like, I would have killed to have a play like this when I was in high school. Absolutely. But nothing like that existed. And, yeah, it's a really inspiring show. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really excited for everyone to see it. So,
what
yeah.
was the cast reaction backstage when whatever happened with the...
Some of them,
I mean, you can't probably go into like full
no,
details.
No, you're fine. Some of them were in the dressing rooms, and it was me and my counterpart in the show. We were backstage, and we heard it, and we're like, "Did someone just laugh? Like, what? No one laughs in that part because it's a serious part. Like, it's heartbreaking." And I guess it just made me so angry because it's like we're showcasing our pain to you. This is what we go through every single day, and you have the nerve to laugh at it and mock it like it's absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. You can walk out of here and still be beautiful. I can't. So it's like, it's one of those shut up and listen mm-hmm. moments that people really need to take seriously when they go and see this show or any show about, you know, colorism or race or anything. Mm-hmm. So
how do you feel that some theaters in town almost choose the black play or like the all female play mm-hmm. and you sort of see that when you see a season line up and you sort of go, well, that's maybe the only one for me yeah. in the season, you know, and mm-hmm. I don't want to name names, but there are just some out there that sometimes I look at a season and I'm like, well,
it's the race play.
That's yeah. the race play.
And I was telling...
And I believe yeah. that those stories should be told, which is a yeah. really mind fuck for me, to yeah. be honest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, no, that play needs to exist
oh,
and
yeah.
be done, but there's a certain, and this is something that I struggle with, and this is why I do, mm-hmm. of, like, specializing. Is it good to specialize that play? Because it's important for people to do that, but you're almost giving more energy, you mm-hmm. know, to, like, almost isolate it, because I want my, all of the people to see every show in the season and want to audition for all 6 shows and not just sort of feel like the mm-hmm. only show that they can be in is the
yeah and as an show. Yeah, as an actor of color, we've been conditioned to think that we can only play certain roles like the maid or the slave, or we have to be hurting, we have to be oppressed against, we have mm-hmm. to be sad, we have to be all those things. Mm-hmm. But the best thing for a theater company to understand and take in is you can cast us anything.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a race play. It doesn't have to be a show about sadness or pain or anything. And that's what a lot of directors don't understand, is that we are flexible. We are performers just like the next white person. We can be cast in leads in shows that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, quote unquote, see us in. And having a race play just kind of tacked onto your season kind of screams to me, it's like, oh, I want a pat on the back because I'm being inclusive.
Right.
No, you're actually kind of discriminating, and you're kind of putting us in one show just so you can have the credit of saying, I'm not a racist theater company.
Right.
So,
and that's sort of what I was getting to
yeah.
in that question, you know, is mm-hmm. whenever you see a season announced, is that something that you sort of have a conversation amongst yourselves first, or mm-hmm. is it just something that's been conditioned in you that you're like, yeah.
It's
well,
definitely been conditioned. Yeah. yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely been conditioned. When I see, like, for example, when I see, let's say, theaters doing Our Town and Death of a Salesman, and then suddenly you see Color Purple sprinkled in there.
Sure.
And, like, I mean, the...
Like, well...
It's like, okay, as an actor of color, the first thing that I go to is, well, I don't have any other chances.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like theaters just need to... And it's the prerogative of the director and the production staff. And having those people on that staff to have those conversations and be like, let's put her in this. Like, it doesn't even matter what she looks like. She's talented, so let's put her in this role.
Sure.
So,
and I
it's,
know, like,
yeah.
Hamilton was its own special creation,
mm-hmm.
but the female actress who got cast as Angelica,
mm-hmm.
there's the interview that she talks about that she went, she called her parents, and she was like, hey, I'm in Hamilton. And they were like, oh, well, what maid are you going to be
playing
or whatever? Mm-hmm. And she was like, no, I am playing Angelica, like
yeah.
the lead. And her parents were like, no, you heard that wrong. Like, that
mm-hmm.
her own parents
mm-hmm.
were trying to convince her that she would, like, you're not playing a white woman in history and
yeah.
on a main stage play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And because, and I do my best to like know that that is happening out in the world, but I sort of adjust. It blows my mind that there are directors or staffs or shows that would choose not to just really color blind.
Well, and cast that's as the reality is that you can have that, you know, quote unquote, Color Purple is an important story to tell.
Absolutely.
So put it in your lineup.
I should be able to be in that show.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and so tell that story, but in the rest of your quote unquote typically, you know, white casted shows, don't cast that way, and then it doesn't look like the token black show. You know, if you're like, but also our Death of a Salesman has, you know, an all black cast too.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way you do that. That's the way you lift other people up, is to say, I don't care that this role is traditionally given to a white woman. I'm going to give it to the strongest actress and not have, you know, I mean, or whatever that is. I mean, you know, that's how you avoid that is by truly, you know, looking at the talent pool and then helping to make sure that future generations are not conditioned in the way that the current generations and those before us are, you know?
I mean, I tried to cast the full Monty and had an open casting that, it, you know, as much as I could, and I only had two people of color audition for that entire season. Like, there was, I didn't know how to reach out to other people and say that we are open to all casting, you know, so I guess an advice on what would you give directors and theater companies on how to engage that demographic besides saying we are open to all, you know, because that to me, and maybe I'm not doing enough, that is the easiest and simplest thing I can say is, well, don't you assume that Corey will cast who's ever right for the role, but I don't know if that always transpires down the line. I don't know if people think, oh yeah, you know, because I am shocked sometimes how often there isn't that demographic represented in any audition room, no matter how much I'm begging for it to show up, because then I don't necessarily, in any casting, I never feel good about reaching out to black, white, male, female, whatever, and saying, well, can you please come audition? Because you aren't in the room.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, you maybe don't want to be here, so how do I get you to want to be there?
So it basically goes back to a lot of actors of color that I know are scared to come to auditions because they know they won't, you know, most of the time they don't get anything. And the image of theater is so deeply inherent in everyone's brains that some directors don't even realize they cast a certain way until they look at their cast and they're like, oh my God. And I guess just to start off, like, not doing those token color shows, like, and not making it kind of in like bright lights, like, oh, we care about inclusion, care about inclusion all the time. And, you know, don't make it so tokenized to where it's like, oh, we at this place believe in diversity and inclusion and blah, blah, blah. Just do the damn thing and just cast, you know, the person that is right in the room. And also having people of color on your production staff and in your halls, like, that helps so much, because a lot of staffs here in KC are all white. Like, at the rep, as soon as Chip Miller, who's directing Schoolgirls, as soon as he leaves, it's going to be an all-white production staff.
How do you feel about that?
I feel really nervous, because he was kind of my go-to, like, to get into the rep in the first place. He was the reason why I got cast in the show. And now that he's gone, you know, it just makes me really nervous.
You lose sort of that cheerleader.
You lose it, and you lose that perspective that every theater company needs. Now, not saying, you know, let's have a token black person or a token Latino or, you know, Hispanic person, but, like, you do need that perspective. Like, it's imperative, especially to the world of theater, where we're supposed to be putting very real stories on the show, make it look as real as possible. So, yeah, it kind of scares
me. They're just crazy conversations, you know, all around it. And what I'm an advocate for, and I believe both of you are too, is to continue to have those crazy conversations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Be like, this is weird. Yeah. I'm not fully, it doesn't fully make sense or whatever, but like, let's keep talking. Which is the thing that I know that Courtney and I have had a discussion sort of about what the state of what America is. So I feel like a lot of people just don't talk anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a punch, it's a thrash, and it's like, and this is my way, and I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of saying, well, what do you, and it goes back to what you said about listening. Well, what do you have to, you know, what is your opinion about this same situation?
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, like, what do you think you are doing to sort of change the landscape of being pigeonholed, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
So that is something I always want to know from women and people of color and everything is, how are you empowering the change?
I'm putting myself in this mindset that I'm more than a slave, more than a maid, I'm more than any of that. And, you know, the
Does that mean you won't take those roles anymore?
Yeah, and, like, it's knowing your worth, especially, and knowing that you can say no. That's another thing we've been conditioned to think, is that, oh, we do have to accept these roles. We do have to accept the roles that demonize us and continue to put us in these situations. No, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unfortunately, yeah, money talks, sure. Like, you do have to take some. Yeah. But, like, overall, knowing what you can do on the stage is and being confident in what you can do on the stage makes the world a difference. And, you know, I'm starting to get to that point where I feel like I can say no to roles. I feel like I can speak up for myself and say, is this really right putting me in this role? Because I don't want to be depicted as this person.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Do you believe that the N-word should be removed from scripts, or do you think that it has a place there?
I feel like some shows historically, yes, it does have a place there, because, I mean, you know, it was a very real thing that happened, and it, you know, it needs to make people uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And
it does.
And going back to that person that you talked to at Sweat, whenever the N-word is
I hope he's listening.
I hope they're listening. But when, you know, when it is said, it's usually said by white characters in a demeaning way, or, you know, they don't understand the word or whatever, but it was used to refer to someone. It is literally defined as dumb, ignorant, or not
second class.
Second class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it objectified slaves and it objectified black people.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you should not re-own the word. And I mean, like, I'm not an advocate for saying the word in any capacity, but the reason why black people say it is so they can re-own, like, take back the word for something else.
And literally, a white man said that it was his word.
No.
Like, how gross is that?
It's not. And again, it surprises me that people like that are still in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It just makes me,
And that particular play also discussed, you know, derogatory terms for Hispanic people and stuff like that. And, like, then that, of course, just starts my conversation inside of my head of saying, well, how is, like, FAG any different than the N-word, different than SPICK? Like, I don't know. I feel like if I spell it, I'm not saying
it. No, you're fine.
It's so weird. You
it's
know?
Okay, yeah.
But, like, but it's those things where I'm like, all three deserve their own weight of you shouldn't, because they are associated with derogatory terms.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I don't think that you should call someone retarded either, because I don't think
that's not
appropriate.
Right,
it's
not okay.
To say.
Right.
So it's I just feel like there are words out there that carry this weight, and some of them have more weight than others.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and
because you have to look at the history of aggression,
come over on a stereotypical slave ship to America, and all I was told that I was for a while
was
an
that.
Word.
Yeah,
I would be very connected with that word.
Yeah,
you know, and taking that back and what that means.
Yeah, and you know, it brings it back to the conversation between like race and sexuality. I've noticed a lot of issues with the white male gay community, and they think that a lot of them are starting to think that they're black women, but they're not.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that persona came from. Probably RuPaul. I'm sorry, I'm gonna say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of RuPaul
mm-hmm.
because he perpetuates a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And A lot of white...
A fun discussion I'm going to have in a second. Yeah. I'm going to circle back to that.
Yeah. Got you. But the, you know, a lot of white gay men have said, well, I've been oppressed too. I blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but you don't look gay. You don't look this way.
Right.
When it comes to race...
I get to walk out of the house and you don't know what my...
Exactly.
Sexuality.
And yes. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, yeah, some people do look gay. No, that's just you being ignorant.
Right.
Like, I look black. I visibly look like a black woman.
Yep.
And I cannot change that. And you can't change sexuality either. But, like...
We're just talking about walking down the street.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we're
exactly.
talking about.
And it's two different conversations. They don't intersect aside from, you know, being oppressed in some
way. We all share a common denominator that we have a group of people that hate us.
Yeah.
But there are women who have groups that, you know, mm-hmm. like...
Right. Well, that's what intersectionality, which is the actual conversation that should be had versus
mm-hmm.
because that's, I mean, part of the reason that we're still in this place and the reason that people don't talk to each other is because they're too afraid of being attacked or whatever. But if you just talk about it like intersectionality,
I'm not aggressive about it. If you're just like, I'm trying to understand.
I'm trying to understand, and I acknowledge that that's going to make me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are levels in our Venn diagram that Bri and I intersect on.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one very big important one that we do not.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore, I can't understand it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with me saying, by being a white woman, I have a level of privilege
mm-hmm.
that it is not in my control. I cannot control the fact that I was born who I am,
mm-hmm.
just like you cannot control that fact. But I can acknowledge that that allows me a privilege that you don't have,
mm-hmm.
and acknowledge that that means I am inherently have biases and racism within me, and to not be ashamed of saying, yes, that is who
mm-hmm.
I am. That is the society I was raised in. And here's the ways I'm trying to change that.
Right.
Here's the ways I'm trying to work
on. How are we all
mm-hmm.
trying to figure, you know, to navigate it to where it doesn't sound like, well, I just don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. What you,
that's not real.
That's
yeah. doesn't happen to you. Yeah.
You talk about? Because I also think that it's silly that some people are like, well, I don't know where you're coming from. Well, I mean, even if I were to believe that black people are subhumans,
mm-hmm.
you at least know why you think that they're subhumans.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and that's the devil's advocacy that haunts me sometimes, is I'm just like, okay, so you're racist. That's
mm-hmm.
great. Why are you racist? You know why you're racist.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because...
Mm-hmm.
Or
right.
Have a conversation. And if sometimes that conversation, as gross as it is just saying, well, my parents were.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
I went to an all-white school. Or,
mm-hmm.
you know, or what, like,
mm-hmm.
then admit that the variables and conditions around you fucked with your head.
Exactly.
You didn't know the difference. And
right.
now you are waking up. Now is the first step in realizing that you may have been racist for the last 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
Today, you can choose not to be.
Yep.
Today, you can say, oops, damn, I got that wrong. My parents were talking in my ear for
mm-hmm.
too long or whatever.
Yep.
So, gay men emulating black women.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a problem.
All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting conversation
mm-hmm.
because when I've had that conversation, it is the most beautiful and fiercest symbol I can give is a strong black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the conversation that I had when I was 14 years old about why
mm-hmm.
gay men tend to take on feminine qualities, because I also believe that a lot of gay men, I'm not talking about lesbians or whatever, find women to be very empowering.
Yeah.
We've always just been like, I love women. They were our best friends, they were our prom dates,
mm-hmm.
they were those things that we needed when we were growing up. And then you see fierce women of color out there that you're just like, I can never be that
mm-hmm.
amazing. And so I wonder if gay men feel as if it is almost like an applause or an homage to saying how amazing you are.
Yeah.
But perhaps that is completely offensive.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Because being a black woman is not about being sassy or loud or whatever. We're much more than that, and it's also 10 times harder to be a black woman rather than a gay white man. I'm sorry.
No, like, it is. But like, that's why I love this exact conversation. Yeah. It's because I would have put, and there it is, there's my internal accidental racism right there. I would have put money in that it was appreciated instead mm-hmm. of, you know, by saying, I wish I could be that awesome. Mm-hmm. Instead of really what you just said is, well, we are more than just these fierce, strong, sassy right. people.
We have we levels. Are humans. Yeah. Yeah. We have levels. And I actually wrote like a little note. Who writes notes on Facebook anymore? Me.
I feel like just don't share them. Right.
I wrote something because I was... For a long time, like, I've been told, oh, you're strong, you're fierce, like you said, and you're, you know, you're strong-headed, like, blah, 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 blah. You can't be sensitive, you can't be gentle. I'm like, but I can. Like, I have gathered strength throughout this life because it's been a hard one, but, like, you know, I am a woman, I'm feminine, I have feelings, I'm gentle, and, you know, I can be as delicate as a white woman can. And going back to, you know, gay men, like, I can see how they're like, oh, yeah, you should be thanking us because they're using our privilege to, like, boost you guys. No, not really. And, you know, you...
I love a mind-blowing discussion. You are blowing my fucking mind right now. So, like, I am completely open to this conversation.
Yeah, like, right now. No, because I'm just tired of these white gay men going around and acting like it's a fucking walk in the park, excuse my language, but like, it's not, it's really not. And right. going back to the whole RuPaul situation, a lot of people think just because he's a black man, you know, it's right at what he's doing. I'm like, you're having all these white drag queens come in and take on the persona that you have, which is a black woman as RuPaul. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay. And also he has said transphobic things in the past mm-hmm. and it's not okay. And just because he's a black man does not make it right. And yes,
would you classify that RuPaul is perhaps one of the more on the front of the magazine drag queens that the United States has
yeah.
to sort of represent the drag queen community? We have RuPaul
yeah.
in the public spotlight. I'm building parameters just sort of around it because yeah. I think that sometimes that is why so many people emulate RuPaul.
Right.
She's the only one that is publicly out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if
she's palatable. I mean, that's the problem is...
But I do think that she's doing inappropriate things. I'm with
yeah,
you.
No, no, no. Yeah,
I'm just saying right now, if a young gay kid, really, unless you're like doing too much research, that's the first one that pops up.
Right,
you type
right.
in famous drag queen mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. RuPaul's
she's the first
face
one. Yeah.
shows
yeah, yeah.
up because that girl has been out there being RuPaul since I was a kid and no one was a drag queen.
Right.
You know?
Right, but I think that's the problem is that because of the fact that she's quote unquote mainstream. I mean, that's yeah. weird, but like something about RuPaul allowed him to gain notoriety,
mm-hmm.
allowed him to mainstream. The problem was, is that then that's not an accurate representation of his community either, because though he is this glamazon, you know, everything's fantastic, my body's in this perfect, whatever. That's not where drag lived either. Mm-hmm. That's not its history either. Mm-hmm. And
exactly.
because it's
and
what
why
has
Paris
been put,
is Burning is such an
exactly.
Oh my God. It's so good. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Because that's not, he's the palatable version for white America to consume.
Uh-huh.
It's very easy to say, okay, well, this is what a drag queen looks like. It's beautiful. It's fierce. It's whatever. But when you look at the history of like Paris with the balls and the
mm-hmm.
things that were happening, that was all trans women of color
mm-hmm.
who were, you know, shunned to the street and
yeah.
underground, and it was about safety. It was about, I mean, there's so many more things that come from what that history should be.
Exactly.
Like when they whitewashed Stonewall and that
yeah.
whatever that movie that they made. I didn't even see it. You know, or there's, you know, or you have the whitewashing of the Upstairs Lounge
mm-hmm.
Or any of that. I mean, I think that in its very simplistic, I'm in, you know, flattery is the greatest form of what your imitation is the greatest form of flattery, it is very easy to say, this black woman inspired me, and therefore I'm just going to be fierce like she is because I'm imitating her, and that's flattery. Sure, in its little seed of nothing, that's fine. Mm-hmm. There's nothing offensive about that.
Yeah.
But when you then are erasing the actual history of it,
yeah,
and what that becomes, and that you can just say, oh, well, I'm here to just, like, you know, be this fierce black woman, but then I'm going to compare my story to hers,
mm-hmm.
when that's not reality. That's where the line then becomes, and like, but now you're not.
Like, I need to talk to a psychiatrist. I do need to do that.
It's a whole new
thing. We all do. Yeah. Oh, my God.
But to have someone and come in and talk about the feminization of gay men to even, hey girl, and, you know, being like, hey girl,
yes, auntie,
yes,
yeah,
and all that. Stuff like that. So jump to the fact that a gay man feels like they have to be overly feminine, and then take the next jump that I think most gay men do emulate a strong black woman.
Yeah. Right.
They do.
And that, again, in that little scene, is not offensive.
How am I 33 years old and really, like, have, right. I love having my woke moment. Oprah. I don't know. You know, I'm saying, like, oh, shit. Like, right. that happens and might be so ingrained in just a coming out story of a white person. I just... Not a loss for words.
I'm gonna have to sleep on it.
This is gonna be a two-part season.
Come back and talk with a drag queen, and have like a conversation, mm-hmm. maybe of an older drag queen in town, to be like, what is this? When did you first start?
Right.
Yeah.
Seeing.
Yeah, because that. Like it's
because
it's,
like
yeah.
I want to be Beyonce. Like, who joking. but that's because I think of all of her strong qualities,
yeah.
But one of those is that I think she's a fierce mother too.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like those mm-hmm. sorts of things. But I want to be Beyonce because of how fabulous I think she is. I need to really internalize to know if it's because she's a black woman.
Mm-hmm. And I think
like if I'm like, what I want to be is
yeah.
fierce black woman, and mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true, but
yeah. And I think the problem is, the reason why I personally find it so offensive is because you know, people accept white gay men acting as black women, but they don't accept me as a black woman acting as a black woman. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that's what
there is
pisses
still racism
me off.
There.
Yeah, yes. There's still racism, and it's like they, again, walk in the park kind of thing. Like, they act like, you know, it's okay. Like, I can take the euphemisms, I can take the sayings, and I can make it my own. And they're getting praised for it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're still getting demonized as black women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not okay.
Well, I mean, the same thing. They are able to take off their drag persona and still walk down the street.
Exactly.
And you still have to leave that same
mm-hmm.
facility as a person of color.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that that's also, you know, at the core of kind of that systematic racism that this country is built on, quite frankly, it's the Corey and I have a privilege in
mm-hmm.
which we are judged individually.
Yeah.
I can judge Corey Childs as an individual for his choices, and I can have, you know, all kinds of biases against him. I can say, oh, you know, that whatever, the F word that's not fuck. and, you know, all I can have all of those. But Bree gets lumped into black women.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm then judging black women as
we're,
a thing, as opposed to
yeah.
Bree. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? And black people. And, you know, this whole kind of thing. It's I mean, that's the issue. It's, I can somehow justify, I don't, this is, you know, just me being, using it, but I can somehow justify my racism because I was attacked by a black man.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that I'm holding all black men responsible for what that one black man did. No matter whether it's true or not or whatever, you know, I was attacked by this black person.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore I can say all black people are bad.
Yeah.
As opposed to Courtney screwed me over
mm-hmm.
and fuck that bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's never people are like,
though.
Right, exactly.
Right.
I mean, that's the issue is that, you know, you can, that's, I mean, I feel like that's the problem with the emulation or, I mean, with all things, that's
mm-hmm.
the problem. But,
I'm literally,
you know,
changing my entire personality in this podcast, by the way. So, like, You are. I feel so embarrassed in like my in my past, and that's just like.
But I mean, I think that that's right. I mean, I think that that's the thing, is that that's the discussion, is the notion of that, you know, kind of judging people singularly is, I mean, judging in general is, you know, probably not a good thing, but everybody does it, you know, mm-hmm. that's universal. But just that whole, like, I'm not going to take a culture or community and use it as my own. I mean, that's, it's, you know, it's good. It's, that's colonizing. That's how that works.
Everyone's personalities. Like, I'm not saying, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just feel like gay men act like women, not necessarily women of color, but you know,
but women in
like,
general.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Hey girl, hey, you know, while still voting to think that a woman couldn't be president, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes.
Oh, right,
but he will. We can emulate you. Mm-hmm. We can pretend to be like you. We can take on all of your gestures mm-hmm. and your mm-hmm. femininity. But I still think that women are subpar.
Right.
So what you have done, Bree, is not only open up a chest of my own world, but I'm looking at what modern sort of sexuality entails, you know, mm-hmm. why I have to be considered a feminine male.
Mm-hmm.
Why is feminine an adjective mm-hmm. that has to even take place?
That's why they insult you.
Right.
I mean, that's,
yeah.
you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right, right, right.
And femininity is...
I'm learning.
Yeah. And like, discussion. And gay men, like, I'm not saying that, you know, gay men are not allowed to be feminine. They can
sure.
be, and that's mm-hmm. fine. But to the extent of when it starts appropriating is when it mm-hmm. becomes an issue. Wearing, you know, wearing weaves. Like, if people knew the deep self-hatred that came with weaves mm-hmm. and black hair,
yes.
it would blow their minds. They would have no idea.
I had a trans friend who told me on Halloween that it is no longer acceptable for men to just dress up as women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
I mean,
probably
yeah.
because if I can't dress up as a Native American, I can't put on blackface, why am I allowed to make fun of a man in a dress?
Mm-hmm.
Which is
right.
essentially what you're doing on Halloween, is you are...
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
that needs to be added, which is its own discussion about Halloween costumes, which we have and will continue to have on,
mm-hmm.
should it just be ghouls and goblins?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like, is
yeah.
it is mm-hmm. it just that?
Mm-hmm.
You need to erase all of the specific
you things.
You
need to stop taking it as your own.
Yeah, that's all it is.
You know, there is a difference between cultural appreciation. If I am going to temple, I am going to put on, you know, whatever I'm supposed to put on to make sure the, I can't remember what the veil is called, but you're going to temple and it's a yarmulke because I can't remember what that word is right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's appropriate for you to wear that in temple because that
right.
is what the, you know, that's what it dictates. That's what's respectful. It's not appropriate for you to then be like, I'm going to wear a yarmulke all the time, even though I'm not Jewish.
I call myself a
exactly.
Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, you can't, you, yeah, you just, it's, that's, it's too much.
It's kind of like with this whole fad that's happening right now with white women darkening their skin.
Mm.
It's becoming a big problem, especially with Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're like, wow, we don't notice anything. I'm like, you're caking on the bronzer.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you want to hate us, but you want to take our
you
skin tone. You want
right.
to be us
you
all
want,
of a sudden.
Essentially, oh, you want all of the best parts of
right.
us with none of the responsibility.
It's
right.
like you want to make fun of my thick features, but you want to get lip injections. You want to get your nose reduced. You want to do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? What's your thought process?
Right.
Like, I just want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, you know, I'm still not considered beautiful by a society.
Right.
And it is literally, as I see it, it's literally just mocking me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can get away with it because you're white.
Right.
So it's just infuriating.
Mm-hmm. Also, just for the record, you're super beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I love having these sorts of discussions,
for sure.
you know, all across
it. It's
going
to feel really weird to ask you the questions after we've had this deep conversation.
Right. which, ironically, we have to slide into. Because we have 4 minutes.
Whoa!
Fair.
4 minutes! Okay.
I know. So, thank you so much, Bree,
yeah,
for that honest conversation.
We're going to have a part two at some point.
Yeah.
Soon.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Be having a part two, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't also want to make it feel like I'm making you a representative for all people of color.
No.
But you are
yeah.
certainly, you certainly sparked my interest when you messaged me yesterday and said, hey, I have something I want to talk about. And I'm like, I want to
talk
about that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to talk about it more than just what I thought we were, because
mm-hmm.
you You blew my mind today.
We should have you on with our scholars. Yeah. First of all, because our scholars, Imani, if you're listening, I'm calling you out, girl, because they don't believe that we could talk to anybody from Mean Girls. They were like, I don't think you know anyone from the African Mean Girls line. And I was like, girl, I can call them all if I want to.
Right here.
What is your definition of real magic?
Real magic. I guess as a person, just being unapologetically you, no matter what anything around you is throwing at you. That's something that I've had to kind of grow to accept about myself. And it's still a daily struggle. I'm almost 24 years old, so it's like I'm still going. And also not apologizing as much. Saying sorry has become a habit for me in the past, and especially as a woman, and I have grown to realize that a lot of the stuff I do is for a reason, and I should never apologize for anything.
So the real magic to you is being your authentic self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
I kind of see myself as like between like a passion red and like a mahogany, like in between there. Mm-hmm. And also red is my favorite color. Mm-hmm. So, but, I just see myself.
Burnt sienna.
Yeah. Ooh, yes.
I'm picturing that crayon.
I know. Isn't that gorgeous? Yes. Is it like a swirl or is it like all put into one bucket and that's the crayon? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's all a solid color.
Yeah. I dig. Yeah. You're granted three wishes. What are they? And all the genie wishes apply. No.
Yeah. Standard genie rules.
You can't ask for more wishes.
Yeah. For my mom to have infinite loads of money. For all of my friends to find happiness. And also an infinite amount of Alfredo pasta.
Duh. I love
you and my husband would get along very well. Especially on that third
Alfredo. Alfredo is my ish. Oh my gosh.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Uh-huh. Oh, no, yeah, let's see. I'm going to pull up a thing.
What is something that you were told as a young person that you could never do that you are currently working on or have done successfully?
Being on stage. Someone told me a while ago that when I was younger, that I couldn't be on stage because of my size and, you know, my skin tone, but here I am.
All right. You are invisible for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Travel's not an issue. Like, mm-hmm. You can just instantly be wherever you need to be. What are you going to do with that 24 hours?
I would definitely go to Africa. I just recently found out that I'm Nigerian and Ghanaian, and so I'm like, oh, I would definitely love to go to Africa mm-hmm. and just kind of observe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
What is the lesson that you are trying to... Let me rephrase that. What do you think your hashtag is for 2019?
Definitely a hashtag Black Girl Magic so far.
Yes. Black Girl Magic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Deal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Final question?
I
know it's so hard. We have such a long list.
I know. Okay. What's the last gift you gave someone?
Besides this eye-opening
besides
interview.
Corey's podcast.
Because that is a gift that you gave them.
I bought someone ice cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love ice cream.
Yeah, me too.
I love ice cream. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Definitely caramel. Anything caramel. Like, oh my god, I would literally die for a caramel.
There's a caramel cupcake down at Baby Cakes in River Market that is like,
that's caramel. A good
like
one.
It's the best cupcake I've ever had in my life.
So good.
My last question is, who would you like to hear from on the podcast?
Who
should we have on the couch next?
Who should you have on the couch? Addie Dancy.
Deal. Mm-hmm. She is definitely on my short list, probably at the opening of Lizzie.
For Lizzie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is an all-female cast.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Oh, so
I get to peek into that, I think, maybe tomorrow or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being on the show today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We will definitely have you back because I am not even half finished with my discussion with you. It's really fun, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope that you always know that the Arts Asylum is open to have any conversation ever possible.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Because we learn whenever we sort of work together.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to have a conversation with all the drag queens out there. Immediately.
Hey.
Like, call me. Wow.
Yeah.
So thank you, Bree.
Yeah, thank you.
That was this week's Couch Chats.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to see who we've got on the couch. New episodes are available in the KC area on KOJH 104.7 Thursdays at 2 p.m. or on iTunes. Bye!